Me got a wish on me mind. It is the chocolate chip kind. Me look at you and me tell. You may have snickerdoodle. Me trade me soul for a bite. Me spell it out black and white. Me look at you and me see. You like an elf in a tree. You cookie showing and me hunger growing. Let's get skim milk flowing. We'll start this snack going, baby. Hey, me just met you. And this is crazy, but you got cookie, so share it maybe. It's hard to look at your snack, baby, but you got cookie, so share it maybe. Hey, me just met you, and this is crazy, but you got cookie, so share it maybe. Cupcake with frosting, it no faze me, but you got cookie, so share it maybe.
Welcome to The Fantastic Neighborhood, episode 21.
Episode 21.
For those of you just joining us, we're a podcast about stuff we like, mostly video games in my case.
Also some other stuff.
Like, yeah.
Like video game related things.
Yeah, so this is episode 21, Fred. We are actually legal.
We're actually, the last episode 21 was a dirty, that was dirty
not,
lie.
No, that's not 21, that was a special.
Do you know what that was?
That was like an annual.
That was our Korean 21st. You know how in Korea they're born and they're already one? Like, that's their rule.
Oh, that makes sense.
So now we're American 21.
Sweet. Anyway, I guess we'll just dive right into Consumption Junction.
Baby, but you got cookie, so share it, baby. Hey, me just met you, and this is crazy. But you got cookie, so share it, baby. Pie and ice cream, it no faze me, but you got cookie, so share it, baby, before you came into me like you did so bad.
And we're back with Consumption Junction. Hi, John.
Hey, Fred.
So this has been pretty mellow so far. I think we need to pick up the energy. John, you have some real exciting expletives.
Don't do that, asshole. Great, now I gotta go back and fix that. we have. Why do you always do boo?
I don't know. It's the only sound effect I'm good at.
It doesn't even make sense. Like, I do the breaking news noise, and
they
you're
always
like,
had like,
and
a...
you're like boo. If like somebody's doing Street Fighter noise, you're like boo. I do.
John, I didn't want to talk about this, but I was born with a sound effect deficiency. That's the only sound effect my
you're
body
like the
is
shitty
capable of
Michael
making.
Winslow. That's his name, right?
I think
the
so.
The guy from
Police Academy.
All right, so before we do this, I wanted to get a quick check-in from you. So there are a few games that you have become a fan of through the 6 months or so that we've been doing this. That you have like sworn by. Oh my god, this is gonna ruin my life. I have some quotes. actually, too.
I hate you.
So our first one, this is you picked up before PAX, Firefall, quote, may be a threat to my marriage. When was the last time you logged in?
When did the Torchlight 2 beta?
You are the king of hyperbole. I love it. Okay, so Tribes Ascension. I feel like maybe you played this one more recently.
I
feel like my life is slipping away.
I'm still actively playing it, but what winds up happening is I tend to only log in on the days where they release an update. I play for an hour, and then I turn it off.
And Awesome Knots. I do not have a good quote for that one because that was when I was gone.
Still playing. You know, I've definitely toned it down once I hit prestige because there was just not that much.
Oh, you prestiged?
There's five levels of prestige. I hit level one of prestige and then all your stats reset and I was like, oh, fuck this noise. I played it for a little
I
more.
Have experience with that, which we'll get to. All right, we wanted to just check. Listeners wanted me to check in on you.
What listener asked you this?
I listened to the show, so okay. I count as a listener. Yeah, back to our regular scheduled program. Oh my god, let me tell you about Spider-Man.
Okay, I gotta stop you. You are, I think, the only person who has told me this movie is good.
It's got about a 70 on Metacritic in the green.
Well, I don't mean like...
And then it's got a 74 on Rotten Tomatoes. Like, the movie's fresh, son. It is the best Spider-Man movie.
You know, it's opportune because Comic-Con is going on right now.
Yeah.
To talk about this, I think. But, like, I'm not even kidding. Like, some of our mutual friends have been posting, like... If you gave this movie a free pass, you're wrong. It's terrible.
Like, who?
Corey.
Oh.
Not that our listeners would know who that is.
Wait, Corey...
E.
Oh, okay. All right.
I mean, I'm unsurprised
he's
by
not,
that, too.
He's not allowed... Okay, he's not allowed to properly judge a comic book movie because, like, he literally comes himself if you even say The Dark Knight.
This is true.
So, luckily, he's not listening to this because he would just have jizzed his pants because Christopher Nolan.
There's
somewhere Corey jizzed.
I've seen a lot of retweets of people I don't know talking about this movie, and a lot of people were vocal in not liking it, or at least it not living up to their expectations. So
expectations for a movie that they made this movie to avoid losing the license.
This also, like, they've made this movie 70 times now.
No, they've made this movie twice.
No, well, I mean, there's been other Spider... I mean, there's been plenty of Spider-Man
movies.
Stories.
Okay, so here we go. Like, yeah, they made this movie so Columbia Pictures / Fox would not lose the license to Spider-Man. Like, you have to make a product every so often or the license reverts. That's, like, in the contract or whatever.
Sure.
That being said, I find it unbelievable that this was a hasty thing because of how good it was. I thought the cast was amazing. I love that there's Gwen Stacy instead of Mary J.
Watson.
Watson. Because I was thinking to say Mary J. Parker because, you know, they eventually get married or whatever. But fuck MJ. I never liked her. Ginger. Gross. Gwen Stacy.
I do like Gwen
for
Stacy.
For the win.
It does. I mean, I think Gwen Stacy was the first real love interest in the Spider-Man storyline anyway, though.
Yeah,
so
totally.
It makes sense.
I thought that Andrew Garfield, despite them being too old, they're 20, like, you know, he's like 28.
Yeah, he's also a goddamn Brit coming over here and stealing our American acting jobs.
Shut up. no, but he was great. I like that Spider-Man is, like, wisecracking, which is the way he's supposed to be. Tobey Maguire is not wisecracky.
He always had those, like, corny hero moments.
Yeah.
Well, is it Spider-Man or is it Andrew Garfield? Is it only when he's Spider-Man does he wisecrack, or does Peter Parker make jokes?
Occasionally, it's more likely. Like, I mean, obviously, you know, they're Spider-Man-esque Spider-Man jokes. Like I said, this movie has, like, a lot more humor and I think heart than the Raimi movies did. There were some fucking moments that were like, oh, wow, they did an effective job at tugging at heartstrings. And, like, the swelling hero moments felt much better than the Raimi movies. They fixed the origin story. You cannot fucking use the original Spider-Man origin story anymore with the fucking... The wrestling and, like, the fucking...
Oh, Bonesaw!
Well, see, even that was an adaptation of, like...
Yeah.
Nobody gives a shit about wrestling. And when Spider-Man was created in the 60s, people thought wrestling was real. Because people were...
John, I've got bad news for you. People still think wrestling is real.
Yeah. But there were still, like, subtle nods to the lore. That being said, the movie is not without its faults. There is no J.K. Simmons.
He was my favorite character in the Raimi movies, hands down.
He's my favorite character in literally everything that he is in.
Oh, he's great.
Yeah, he's fantastic. He's the best character in those Farmers insurance commercials.
Is there a Triple J character in the movie?
He's not in it.
He's not in it at all, right?
No.
That gives me hope that maybe, in the next movie.
Yeah, no, like, they... did a great job of deciding not to squeeze too much shit in. I mean, obviously the villain is Kurt Connors, the Lizard. There's only one villain.
Well, I mean, that's the number of the movie corresponds to the number of villains that are in it.
You know, there's some Osborn being teased, but no, you don't get to see one. Man, Dennis Leary was good as Captain Stacy.
He reminds me so much of, like, Ice-T now. Like, all the roles that he plays are, like, the authoritative roles that he hated in his comedy.
Yeah. But anyway, I really, really liked it. I saw it in 2D. There was obviously parts where they, you know, schlocky 3D
like,
stuff.
Oh, here, take this fork.
There's a manhole cover sliding. That being said, today I tried to pre-order the 3D Blu-ray. But I guess it's not available for pre-order yet for whatever reason.
Oh, because the movie's in the theater as of, like, what, last week?
I don't know. If I was Amazon, I'd let idiots like me pre-order it. With Prometheus and, like, Men in Black 3, they had a deal. If you pre-order the Blu-ray, you get a ticket to see the movie.
Oh, I mean, I think that's probably more to do.
Which would be great for me if they had that deal for this movie, because I'm going to go see it again.
Well, let me know when you do, because based on what you're telling me, I think I actually want to go see it.
You'll hate it.
My wife is dead set opposed to it. I'm actually...
Dude, I think...
I've been on the fence about it.
I think she would like it.
Do you want to know why she doesn't want to see it? And I'm not kidding you. Because she doesn't like... she doesn't think Andrew Garfield is cute, but she thinks Toby is adorable. Ugh. Go fake.
Anyway.
Women, am I right?
I'm just going to go through all my 3D stuff real quick, because we're just rolling right along.
Do it up.
So, movies in 3-fucking-D. This is my new thing, man. This is my new obsession, because I got the...
Well, you got a 3D TV.
Yeah. It's got the passive 3D.
So no glasses.
No, it's got glasses, but they're not the fucking ones with batteries in them. So you get them for free at the movie theater instead of paying $80 for a pair.
Or you can make them in crafts class with a transparent red and blue.
No, it's not that kind of 3D.
I wish that 3D still existed.
It does. You can play several video games in it, because I've been looking at, like, 3D compatibility lists and stuff. But we watched, like, How to Train Your Dragon on Sunday when I was all hungover.
Great movie.
Yeah, it's pretty good. And then I went and torrented, like, about 80 fucking 3D movies. I felt kind of bad. I'm going to buy Spider-Man.
Oh, that makes up for it totally. Don't worry about it, though.
Yeah. I thought, like, oh, you know, it's nice to have, but now I'm, like, almost kind of... obsessed with the 3D, like, getting 3D content. Dude, on the TV.
I don't really like 3D at all. I don't think I'm going to like 3D until I don't realize it's actually, I'm watching a 3D movie. It's just the way it is.
Yeah, I can see that. I'm kind of into it right now. So that's sort of my thing. But also in 3D is, like, I've been playing Halo Combat Combat Evolved Anniversary, the remake. The HD remake, HD 3D remake of the original Halo game.
Okay. How is Halo evolved?
Halo's still Halo. So it's pretty good. It looks great.
Did they add anything to it, or
no,
is it just re-released?
It's HD. It's 3D. It's great. I've been, like, honestly, like, I've been playing it as a palate cleanser in between our, like, when shit gets a little too real in the Game Club game we've been playing. Like, no joke. Like, I will be in here, like, in our studio, like...
You're such a fucking baby.
Dude, so, lights off in this room, these fucking headphones on, playing that game, and I'm like, you know, I'm gonna go play some Halo.
Do you know... I'm saving it for the Game Club. Saving it for Game Club.
All right. So, anyway, Fred, what have you been doing?
So,
I got other stuff.
I haven't played too many games this week. I downloaded a ton of shit. I caught one of the indie bundles on sale.
You got two. You got the indie bundle, the latest indie bundle from a few weeks ago, and then you got the indie royale bundle.
The indie royale, yeah. So
those games tend to not be as good as the ones.
Can I tell you? I don't
even
remember what the games are. There was a lot of very Japanese anime style games in that bundle, but I bought it anyway because it was $10.
Yeah, I mean.
I think there was the one game I grabbed, and I was like, "Ah, screw it! I'll screw around with it." Was Serious Sam 2?
Oh yeah, that was in there.
Yeah, but everything else looked like typical JRPG style.
No, that's not true. Let's see. There's Harvest, Massive Encounter. I'm not sure what that is. The Journey Down, Chapter 1, Serious Sam 2. This one looks anime-ish. Gundolium Recollection. Whatever. Dino Run, there are a few.
There's a lot. And so I wound up downloading Desura to get all these, too. I hadn't had it before. Yeah. Haven't really screwed around with it. Honestly,
I used,
like,
Desura to get Stanley Parable, like, because there's a ton of Half-Life mods on there.
Right. I'm liking Desura, but I haven't really played too much. I like the concept of it. I'll tell you, though, I already know I'm not going to play all those games. I'm going to be lucky if I play two of them. And now I understand your problem.
Yeah.
Because they're like $1 a game. Like, I can't argue with that, right?
But here's the thing. Like, we got Amnesia in that bundle, so we got it for $2. That game retails for, like, $20.
Yeah, no, and it's...
So even, like, yeah. if I... Even if I don't play a single one of those other games in it, that last indie bundle is fucking awesome.
Like, no, that was that like the hands down,
Sword,
I think, the best
Sorcery,
one.
What's that game we played on Game Club? Psychonauts, fucking
Bastion.
Braid, Bastion. That other one, I want to play that other survival horror that's in there, the 8-bit or the 16-bit like style survival horror. Home, I think it's called.
Okay, that was one of the ones they added later on.
Yeah. I'm sorry, that bundle is just fucking sick.
No, that was
the
best.
I'm going to have
best,
to play some more stuff out of that.
The hands down the best indie bundle they've ever done. Although Steam has just announced, like...
They didn't announce it.
They didn't announce it. It leaked.
We're
that
talking about
it.
This in our new segment. We don't have to necessarily keep
anyway,
everything
separate. So yeah, so I downloaded a ton of games. I haven't played too many of them. The thing that I did game-wise that I hate myself for now is I finally got to level 60 of Diablo.
Ugh.
And
why?
Let me tell you something. I didn't even want to do it. I was at like level 58 or something like that, and I was sick and fucking tired of people being like, "Oh, you haven't got the 60 yet? What's wrong with you? Why aren't you at 60? You haven't even played the game yet. You're not at 60."
Those people aren't people.
So I'm at level 60.
I'm talking to you guys.
I'm at level 60. I've played it a little more, and honestly, I think I'm probably done with it until new content comes out.
Cool. Yeah,
because
I gotta beat it.
I can't find myself just replaying the same four fucking levels over and over and over again to farm items just to go back to those levels and do them again, but easier. Right? I don't see the value in beating the game over and over again easier and easier every time. And that's basically all the end game is right now. Blizzard actually came out and said, like, we recognize that this is not enough of an end game for people. We fucked up. Sorry, we only had 12 years to figure it out.
No, I mean, no, but here's the thing is, like, if you are a person who is scrounging for more shit, like, say you've got level 60 in each of each class, that's approximately 220 hours of...
Oh, I think it might even be more than that.
Yeah. Like, at least.
Well, what's...
Why do they have to appease these people? And I'll tell you why, because they want to keep making money in the auction house.
Well, what happens is...
It's not a fucking MMO.
Most of the end game players right now have their end game equipment already. Like, they have the best thing for their class. The best shield in the game, which is pretty much unanimously considered to be the Storm Shield, because it has, like, a 30% chance to block or something like that. What's happening is, like, people who already have Storm Shields are now just scrounging for Storm Shields with slightly better stats. Right? Which, at the end of the day... provides very little benefit. Like, it's very hard to notice what the benefit of that item is. But in addition to that, they're, like, assuming I'm going to get these items for when the player versus player stuff comes about. But what they don't realize is that probably when that player versus player arena shit comes around, or whatever new content they make for this, there's going to be new items with it that invalidate everything you have anyway.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, I feel like PvP is going to get released, and I don't think they're going to balance. They pretty much said we're not going to balance for PvP.
It doesn't really even feel like a PvP game. If they release more content, if they up the level cap, and then they release expansions with new story elements, yeah, I could see doing it because then there's something to work towards.
I don't know. I just don't understand the complaints. To an extent, I don't understand the complaints, and I don't understand Blizzard going, "Oh man, we should have made the end game, blah blah blah." But then, like, I remember that they aren't treating this like a dungeon crawler. This is an MMO, but it's not an MMO.
It's an MMO, but it's not an MMO.
Yeah.
Exactly, and that's the problem.
Because they're just trying to figure out these fucking revenue streams. Let's get real; like, they're just trying to figure out ways to make money. And
the economy in the game is actually fucked up right now.
Oh, I imagine.
Because they didn't really balance out the fact that these elite players are going to farm the living shit out of the game. Like, literally, there's a handful of players who can throw the economy off for the entire game.
Well, no, and then if you go in there, want to play a public game, you hop in and there's a bunch of characters with Chinese names. Oh, yeah. Wonder what those guys
Korean
are doing.
Korean, dude. Get it right.
No, I mean the farmer.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, their shops, you know?
Yeah, but what's actually... The broken part of the game that people are discovering right now is that you can actually... One of the rarest items in the game that you can drop are recipes to craft set items, and set items are the best items in the game for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
and these items can only be crafted. But once you have the recipe, you can craft them over and over and over again. So the first few people who got those recipes just started shitting out the items and selling them for millions and millions of gold, and they were the only game in town, so people were buying them. So these people by themselves sort of broke the economy of the game, because they determined whether or not people were actually going to buy that item for gold in-game or for real dollars, because they controlled the market.
Mm-hmm.
That'll eventually even out, but the other side of this is that no one's going to put real money into this game in any substantial amount.
Yeah, they will, because people are idiots.
Well, I mean, it's not like they would for World of Warcraft, because there's not enough end-game to keep them interested.
I don't know. We'll see. I just don't want to talk about this fucking game
anymore. I'm done with it. I'm done until something comes. We actually had a big discussion yesterday, and we're like, oh, it's $60 for Diablo. Or I can go on Steam right now and spend $60 and get four copies of Torchlight 1 and four copies of Torchlight 2.
Yeah.
That are redistributable to my friends.
That's a good deal.
For when it comes out. $60, and that game is light years ahead of Diablo.
Yeah, I'm going to play the shit out of Torchlight 2.
We're all looking forward to it. And then the last thing I did this week, every 3 months I tend to go to a new Magic set comes out. And the Magic base set M13 came out, which is the 13th base
set. Isn't that the Mexican gang?
Yes. Oh, wait, no, that's... Oh, God, it's not even Mexican. It's like Ecuadorian or something like that.
No, it's 13. I know this.
We're going to look this up. It'll be in the show notes.
No, it won't.
But I went to one of the Magic pre-releases. It was a lot of fun. This set is okay. It's not the best set in the world. It's a base set, so it's like for beginners. Mm-hmm. But it was a fun tournament. It was a good environment.
For beginners? Like, good point for me to hop in? Should I get one of the video game versions?
They're saying that the new starting point for Magic players is actually the Duel of the Planeswalkers game,
mm-hmm.
which is actually on iPad now.
Oh, that sounds like something that would be right up my alley.
It's very it takes
Can I play
a
it
lot
on
of
the subway.
Oh yeah, it's a single player game,
mm-hmm.
but it takes a lot of the complexity out of the game. Like, they don't dumb it down, but the decks that you're playing with are prefabricated to play against each other. So they're balanced against each other. So you know how they play, you know what your strategies are, and you learn the basic mechanics of the game.
Yeah, that sounds like... I mean, because, dude, I tried to play when I was in middle school and lost... Like, this is, you know, 7th grade, and this is in Seattle where the shit is coming from. Whatever.
Right.
I couldn't get into it.
I'll tell you, I think the best way to learn Magic from my experience is still... Friends teaching you is always going to be the best way. But going to a convention... that has a Magic or any collectible card game, they always do demos and they give away product to get people involved, and they will walk you through a game, and that usually is, I think, the best way to learn.
Cool.
If anyone is actually
interested. Whatever
happened
to that Marvel card competitive card game?
There have been a couple and they've all failed.
The one back in the 90s.
Overpower.
Maybe. No, that's not it.
That game was basically flashcards, and it failed. There was Overpower, and then there was Versus System.
No, neither of those. I'll look it up and get back to you. Man, I was just thinking about Spider-Man again. You should do dramatic readings of my notes.
Oh, I know.
Oh, wow. These are kind of funny.
Hold on. Perfect cast. Hot Emma Stone. Gwen Stacy above MJ all day and forever.
Yeah, that's awesome.
We can record these later.
Well, I also quoted the classic Sandler comedy CD.
Fuck me in the goat ass.
Fuck me
shit.
In the goat ass. Man, that shit was funny.
Hey, remember when Adam Sandler was funny and relevant?
God, well, when we were in middle school.
Yeah.
That might even
when that was the top of the pinnacle of humor.
They're all going to laugh at you. Oh,
anyway.
Man, those CDs were fucking funny.
There's something on here I want to know about, John.
Yeah.
On our show notes.
Tower of Fortune.
Okay, talk about that first, then.
Okay, so Tower of Fortune is a turn-based RPG slot machine game.
Also, it has kart racing mechanics.
No, just what I said. So basically, like... I mean, you have a slot machine that decides what happens that turn. Your luck, I think your luck stat influences that. You level up, you fight monsters, you try to get to the top of this tower. I was really hot on it when I put it in this list because it was like a great little thing that I could do for like 5 minutes when I'm like, you know, on the subway but not, can't get my iPad out or something like that. But the way the way it works is, like, if you lose to an opponent, you lose all your stats.
You start over.
Yeah, which is great. But I lost... I had a character that I had, you know, probably 5 hours of 5 minutes here and there in. Like, he was pretty high level. But I got stunned by a fucking character. Couldn't get out of it. Had a bunch of bad dice rolls. And boom, I'm fucking done. And I'm like, you know what?
Can't reinvest
the
time, right?
I'm like, exit out, delete from my phone. You're gone. But, you know, everybody else, it's worth checking out. I don't think it's...
Play until that point.
Yeah, play until that point. Of course, it's free, and you can microtransact shit to get ahead.
Is it like you can rescue your character from death and
stuff
like that?
No, you can buy gold to buy items and stuff.
Alright.
Or you can earn gold through the time, and you also need gold to unlock the next level. Not like the character level, but the next opponent level. It's cool. I'm glad I didn't spend any money on it. I was getting to the point where I was like, man, maybe I should give them $3 because it's going to be, I'm going to have to grind a lot to get to the next level.
Or you could just, for no money, get a different game that you don't have to do that in.
Yeah. So pick that up, play it for a couple minutes.
And then delete it.
Yeah. So yeah.
All right, John, this is what I want to hear about.
The Act.
That's not it either. God damn it, you have a lot of stuff on your list.
All right, so The Act is an FMV game on iPad.
I heart that.
Yeah, it was originally... these guys were planning to release this in the arcades in, 2007, but then it fell apart when they realized that there aren't any fucking arcades in 2007.
Is this in the spirit of Night Trap?
Oh, sort of, in that it's, you know, it's an FMV game. You can do this thing or that thing. But it's, the original game controller was a knob, right? So you would basically, you're controlling the sort of reaction of your character one way or the other, either timid or forward. And, I don't know, this is now controlled by swiping, and you basically get to control how forward you are, and you have to reel it back based on the other character's reactions.
Like forward acting or forward? Yeah. Oh, okay.
So basically, it's in that regard, it's much more advanced than your old school FMV game.
Not left or right; it's degrees of things.
Yeah, it's almost like it kind of reminded me a little bit of what Schaefer was talking about of the adventure game with feelings or whatever.
Sure,
Or, gesture for whatever.
Except that it's one feeling.
Yeah, so, it's one or the other. So you're, this window washer who gets into this whole happenstance, trying to get this girl, save your brother from having his brain cut out. It sounds silly, I know, but it's got, that very high-end hand-drawn animation style. It looks like it could be a Don Bluth game.
It's not live action.
It's not that live action. I was trying to bring up the Wikipedia page on it, but it was definitely an interesting story. I remember seeing a video about this game a few years ago.
Is this iPad only or
iPad or iPhone? For now, I think it's coming to Android just because Chilingo, the mobile publisher, put it out. That's why I remember the hand-drawn art is from a ton of former Disney animators.
Has a pedigree.
Yeah, so it's really cool. Yep.
That sounds fun. All right, John, shut up about video games. You have written on the show notes, and I'm quoting, Basement Punk Show.
Yeah, so I went to a basement show my last week in Bushwick, which was a couple weeks ago. But then we recorded the 4th of July episode and stuff, so we didn't get around to talking about it. It's more pop punk. The band that I was there to see is a band we played on the show a few times called The Hotelier. These guys are fucking 17 or 18, and they're awesome. I was going ape shit. It was incredible. I was the oldest person there. Me and Katie were probably the only married people there. We didn't pay. We just kind of walked by the guy who was taking money. There was some fucking 15-year-old kid selling $2 beers. didn't get bed bugs, so I mean, like, it was all good.
That you know of.
That, well, I mean, they would have probably noticed them by now.
That's, so I have some very fond memories of going to Basement Punk shows, when I was a young lad.
Yeah, me too.
And it's been, I mean, they almost don't exist anymore. Not true in spirit. You know, there's some things that they just call a Basement Punk show, but it happens to just be in a dive bar that's underground.
Yeah, you know, I guess they had, I say Basement Punk show because the two bands that I really saw were punk bands. When I got there was a rapper performing.
Did he drop the mic?
No, he didn't. It was a very much a basement setup. Like, they didn't, oh, we forgot to bring a mic stand for the backup singer, so we just fucking
wrapped the
hung
wire.
It over a pipe. Yeah. yeah, but it was rad. Fucking the Hotelier, oh man, that band is awesome. I would check them out.
So can I tell you, I went to about, probably around the time that you were going to this Basement Punk show.
Yeah, I think it was the day before that you went and saw Real Big Fish.
So I saw, it was Real
One
Big Fish.
One time, Aaron from Real Big Fish tried to have sex with my wife and her friend when they were 16. Yeah.
That's a good story.
He's well known for going after girls who are less than 18.
So
like
I knew
a 14-year-old girl back when I lived in Oregon when I was also 14 who had slept with him. But
okay, I'm putting that aside for
now. Is this slander?
A little bit.
Or libel. Libel's written.
Yeah, libel's print. So I saw it was Real Big Fish, Goldfinger, Big D and the Kids Table, and one other ska band whose name I forget because I don't really care for them so much.
Four ska bands.
Yeah. So let me tell you something. I thought I was going to be the creepy old guy at the show, and I was until Goldfinger came out. They are old, and they are creeps.
They're not as creepy as Less Than Jake. A couple summers ago, I saw Goldfinger.
Oh, with the dreadlocks?
Goldfinger and Less Than Jake together, and like Less Than Jake's stage show is just annoying. Like, they do weird, stupid stuff. There was, like, at one point they had a fan come up and they put a Twinkie in between his butt cheeks.
Well, they did that at the Goldfinger show. That's the Goldfinger thing.
Oh, maybe that was Goldfinger.
Yeah, no, they're creeps.
Oh, yeah. All right. Yeah,
that's why
stupid.
Their name is Goldfinger.
Yeah, I don't like that.
No, it was weird and awkward. The music stands, but the performances.
I'm actually kind of looking forward to Tony Hawk Pro Skater HD.
So you can hear all those oldies but goodies from Epitaph Records.
I don't think they were on Epitaph.
But
they
anyway,
were on Mojo, dummy.
Yeah, that's right. But the show was good, but the bands are starting to age a little bit.
Yeah, a lot of it. It's been 20 fucking years.
Yeah, I like Big D and the Kids Table, and I thought the show was really good, and they did a Beastie Boys cover, which was really fun. Real Big Fish did the same show that they've done for the last 20 years.
You know, one time I saw them, I mean, probably like 4 or 5 years ago, they played Beer twice.
Yeah, they've done that at
shows.
That's
funny.
But then again, like, the Stones will do that too, you know? I mean, that's like a rock thing. Some bands just can get away with it.
No, they did it, like, kind of ironically. Like, that was a joke when they started playing it, and then they just played the whole fucking song. Because there's, like, people starting to, the crowd was starting to thin out. They're like, well, you want us to play Beer again? We'll play Beer again.
Pretty funny, actually. Yeah. But I gotta tell you, man, summer comes around, and what I like to refer to as ska season. I do get a
ska
little...
Ska season, the winter of 97?
Yes. I get very reminiscent.
All right. My show is better. We'll be right back with a new segment.
It's an exciting one. We're calling it Hype Bonanza and News.
No, we're just calling it Hype Bonanza.
That name is not staying.
Oh, yeah. No, come up with something better. We'll be right back. All right, don't tell me the past can't save me now. I can tell that it's not right. It's not right. It's the struggle that keeps us fighting. Here come the boss man calling, calling. Here come the man right now. Here come the boss man calling, calling. Here come the man right now. Here come the boss man calling, calling. Here come the man right now. Here come the boss man calling, calling. Don't let him bring you down. I sit upon the... Studio. And this is when you go boo, boo. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't max out that time.
Yeah, well, thank goodness.
Sweet.
Yeah, we're back in the Fantastic Neighborhood studio. We really have a studio now.
This is an actual... I mean, there's clothing hanging in it because you're
also,
a disheveled
it's
mess.
Also my it's also my closet and office, but it's better than...
It's a bona fide recording area.
Like, we are sitting much more comfortably than usual.
We're going to get some posters up on the walls.
Yeah, frame stuff. I got this She-Hulk poster. I'm not kidding.
I know you're not.
I love She-Hulk. I think she is... she's like the... Well... I was gonna say that she's like Adele from the '90s, but like Adele was is good for women's body images. I guess She-Hulk's kind of good.
Oh God, I posted something horrible about her today.
I guess She-Hulk is. But I mean, she's strong.
She's smart.
She's a lawyer.
She is a lawyer.
Yeah.
She don't need a man, is what we're saying.
She's a strong, independent green woman who don't need a man. Is that good enough? Fred was just saying during the whiskey break that there weren't enough jokes. There weren't enough yucks.
Yeah, no, we need to up the yuck quotient.
No, but seriously, I'm a big She-Hulk fan.
No, she had a great...
There was
like
a run a couple
book.
Years ago that was really good.
I like any book that's not specifically like superheroes, because they all basically have the same story arc. Superhero encounters conflict, uses powers to fight conflict, resolution.
Yeah. And I think occasionally she's written in a non-sexist way, which is really kind of interesting. Even if I'm saying sexist things about Adele.
Well, she's also entirely satirical, right? Like, at least the lawyer run.
Yeah, that was there was a fair bit of satire. That was super that was super funny though. That was funny and really well written.
So are we going to talk about Adele being pregnant?
Oh, is she really?
Yeah, her and Kermit came out and said that they're going to have a litter in September.
Kermit? Like the frog?
That was a joke.
Oh, were you saying she was like Miss...
She looks like Miss Piggy, John.
That's mean.
I know. Anyway, welcome to our new segment, which stupid John has named Hype Bonanza.
So here's the thing. So we're not a news show. We have said this. I think we said this on the first or second episode. We like, but like lately, there's stuff that has come up and like that gets us excited that we want to talk about. So we need to talk about. We need to have a section. We talk about things we are pumped for, or Fred could talk about what really got his goat this week.
Yes. I mean, so we're not a news show by virtue of, like, we're not breaking any stories. We're not looking for new... Anything we're talking about, for the most part, is going to be stuff that we found and we found interesting.
Yeah,
but it's not
so
stuff
that's we're just only going to bring stuff to the table that we feel like that we can either commentate on interestingly or that we're super excited about.
Well, there's a lot I'm super excited about.
Yeah.
So... The first item on the list, John.
Squee!
Yeah, I'm crossing my fingers on this one, too.
It comes with the original Saturn version.
So,
which I own.
On the very short horizon is a Knights remake in HD.
Lovely. I hope it's 3D.
Now, what console is this for? The Wii?
This is for... No. No, because they did the new Knights game on the Wii that I don't own and didn't sell. This is a remake of the first game in HD, so it's not for the Wii, because it's in HD.
this is true.
Oh, this was in 480p. So why don't I just fucking puke on my own eyeballs?
get your composite cables out, guys.
Yeah. Cool. Does it come with a coax adapter? Do you have your RF modulator?
Your nerd voice is the worst nerd voice because it just sounds like you talking deeper.
Anyway.
So it's...
No, but it's for Xbox Live, PSN, and Steam.
Do you remember the first Knights had the crazy controller?
I have three of them.
Do you think... So I think part of the attraction of playing the original Knights was that controller.
No, part of the attraction of playing the original Knights was that it was awesome.
It was an awesome game, but, like, it's a different experience with that controller versus mouse and keyboard or something like that.
Oh, I think this game... I mean, like, on PC, the majority of people are going to play this with a controller. Like, I mean, it only makes sense to... But, I mean, it would work fine with a mouse, considering that there's only... On that controller, there's only one analog input. Like, you don't have camera control.
Right.
God, I fucking love me some fucking Knights.
Knights was like one of my favorite games of that era, and it's so uncelebrated.
The Sonic, unlockable Sonic in the game.
Yeah.
That's like just didn't really, you couldn't really do much because you couldn't fly.
But it's Sega, so they had to give a nod to him somehow.
Well, that, I mean, and then you played that and you're like, man, there should have been a 3D Sonic on on Saturn.
Was Knight supposed to be, or is his name Knight? I think his name is Knight, right? Whatever, the main character. Was he supposed to be a mascot? Was he the stab at, like, becoming a new mascot?
No, I don't think so. But at the time, like, mascots were kind of, eh. I mean,
Because
Sonic Team did that, but Sonic Team also did Burning Rangers, I think. Right. So,
everything was mascotable at that era, though.
I want a new Burning Rangers game.
There was Burning Rangers, there was Knights. I mean, even, like, Clockwork Knight could have been a mascot if they, you know, like, everything had that Disney-esque sort of...
Anyway, I'm pretty pumped for it, and it comes with a... I don't know if it's probably going to be like Guardian Heroes, and that comes with the Saturn version separate. Like, you can't hop swap between them. Like in Halo, you can hit the back button and like screen goes black for a few seconds and oh my god, I have original Xbox graphics. Like, and you're like, oh, why don't I just throw up on my eyeballs?
The worst.
Yeah.
So the next item on our list, John, of breaking news. I'm going to do that every time. No, I'm not going to do that every time. Steam sale on the horizon. We alluded to this earlier.
Yeah, well, something leaked, but I mean, obviously people were talking about it before then.
I mean, let's clarify. There's always a Steam sale on the horizon.
No, but there's going to be like one of their big ones, their summer one.
So this is the Steam Xbox Arcade Summer of Arcade sort of, like, this is their...
Yeah. So I'm pretty excited about it because I'm taking to playing a lot of games on my computer more and more. The thing is, like, fuck, I really shouldn't buy any more games.
No, you've got quite a few.
But there's some stuff I think I want, like, there's some stuff I got my eye on, you know, and if it hits the right price, actually, I probably should have waited on Spec Ops and Binary Domain.
Well, what are your what are some key titles people should be looking out for?
Oh man, you asked me. I don't have the list in front of me.
Because I looked at the list and I'm like, yeah, I've heard of most of these games, but I don't know that. I don't know too much about them.
I'm gonna expect like another, you know, more huge bundles at THQ and IDOS, like, or excuse me, Square Enix, like those huge bundles. Though I'm sure there'll be fantastic indie bundles. Those lists leaked. I'm just kind of interested to see what I would really like to pick up Syndicate personally.
I could see that. That was
Syndicate.
I
mean, Syndicate for $10 would
a pretty title.
That, I mean, I've heard great things about it. Like, that for $10 would be a purchase for me. Just to throw on the old backlog and never play it. If Deus Ex Human Revolution's $5, I'll grab that. I hesitated. It was $7.50 like a few weeks ago. I was like, you know what? I'm never gonna play this. So I'm gonna wait for it to be $5. you know, I'm just kind of interested to see what happens, and throw more stuff on the backlog. I mean, I'm gonna be more proactive about playing games. Like, I'm gonna play Spec Ops now. That's gonna be my thing.
Word, yeah.
Yeah.
So I have another item that we didn't have on the list, John. But I feel like we need to give a nod to this. And I'm going to tell my listener, or I'm going to tell our listeners.
My listeners.
Not yours.
The ones that are that get the special stream that's only for Ed.
Yes. You know, I could do that if I really wanted
to. No, I could easily do that. You'd still hear me in the background, but very faintly.
So, they just announced, and this is real. This is not a bit. This is not a joke. They announced that
Adele is really pregnant with Kermit's baby.
Well, no, she really is. They announced that they are re-releasing Final Fantasy VII on the PC with the original PlayStation graphics.
Oh no, they're not. They're not the original graphics.
They really are.
They are the original. The
original cutscenes.
It's the original stuff. It is up-resed.
Yeah, but it's still...
No, it looks like absolute dog shit. Didn't I send you the trailer for that?
You did.
Looks like it... And then I was like, oh man, we should just vomit on our eyeballs.
It looked like Final Fantasy VII on the PlayStation. It really did. And it's a fine game.
Oh man, it looks like the 90s raped you with a knife sword. Or, fuck, sword gun.
No,
God,
that was
it.
8. 7 was the really big sword.
Yeah, that fucking game is mega overrated.
I actually love the game, but
okay,
it's more of a period piece.
Play it, homie.
It's a period piece. It's a moment in time.
How much are they going to charge for it? Square Enix.
Dude, it's like a full price game.
No, no, it's they haven't announced price.
No, I'm going to say $20.
Okay, $20, I could see them. Like, I... Fine. Because it is going to look better than the one that's on...
And they're, apparently they're adding achievements that tie into no other achievement system.
Whatever. Everybody's doing that now. $20, fine. It is going to look better than the version that you can get on PSN now. If they charge anything more than that, they are fucking insane. But this is the same company that is currently charging, like, 20... It's, like, $18 for Chrono Trigger on the iPad.
On the iPad, yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah. No.
Cool. Good one, asshole. It's $6 on the PSP.
Like, sometimes I look at that and I go, like, oh, that's a funny joke that they're doing. There must be another version that's... Oh, no, they're serious.
Yeah, lol. Like, they'll sell a $3 app of wallpapers for Final Fantasy 13. Like,
and people buy it.
No.
You don't think so?
I don't think so.
Someone's buying it.
I mean, I don't have the sales metrics in front of me.
I mean, I feel like they just sort of throw that stuff out there at those price points, wait for people to buy it, and then as soon as the sales dry up, just drop the price as fast as they can.
Yeah.
But anyway, John, so the next item on this list
God,
I added.
I would roll my eyes right now, but I already have kind of a headache.
You don't want to talk about this?
No,
John?
No, no, go ahead.
So the Felicia Day controversy.
I think we talked about this at my barbecue, right? Didn't we kind of like agree on this?
I don't know that we talked about it on the show, though, but we did discuss this with Chris.
So, yeah, so the whole thing is this guy that works for Destructoid, junior level writer.
Ryan Perez. He's like a freelance writer.
I don't think he's freelance. I think he was on there.
Was he staff?
Oh,
maybe.
Wait, I think they're like all freelance there except for fucking, what's his name, Sterling.
Yeah.
Jim Sterling. But yeah, he like, I guess, gets drunk and decides to start, would it harassing Felicia Day on Twitter? Like, if you at somebody a bunch of shit, that's kind of, like, harass, whatever. Like, going after her for like, oh, you don't contribute to the...
So he wrote an article first, I think, that sort of was a little inflammatory, and then he took to Twitter and started saying... some negative things specifically about the person Felicia Day, and then that turned into like a big controversy, and like some bigger Twitter names like Will Wheaton and all them got involved, started defending her.
Of course, those fucking that guy's a jackhole, and so is fucking Adam Baldwin who got into it. That fucking guy's a prick. He's like this right wing fucking gun nut. Fuck that guy.
Anyway, so they started getting involved, and then the guy at Demonoid, Ryan, sort of like...
Did I say
like,
Destructoid before?
Oh, no, you're right. Destructoid. I'm thinking of things I torrent from. Anyway.
Yeah, he works for the... That's weird.
Anyway, so he issued an apology, I guess, and it was like a half-assed apology. And then like later on that night, he started doing even more derogatory negative shit towards Felicia Day.
Yeah, well, I tell you what. Like, if he would have... He probably would have gotten in a little bit of steam regardless because, I mean, dude, what the fuck is your job here? Like, you're like, reporting on stuff, right?
Right. Well, it was an op-ed piece, really.
Yeah, but, like, I don't know. Going off on somebody like that, it shows a serious lack of professionalism.
So here's the thing.
Here's the thing,
Here's the thing, John.
Here's where he fucked up. By saying, like... She's just a glorified booth babe.
That was the line that everyone highlighted,
that's,
basically.
I think that's sexist, and I think Felicia Day, first of all, I mean, I think she has actual nerd cred. I don't think she's participating in the community simply for profit. Like, I mean...
I'm not... huge on Felicia Day. Like,
I don't really like her. I'm not in love with her. Like,
the work that I've seen of her that she's done, I don't love it because I feel like it is a little bit exploitative of the culture. Like, she's sort of saying, I'm a nerd, plus I'm a girl, but I'm proud of that, accept me. And also, here's all these stereotypes that I'm going to roll into a miniseries on the web.
I don't know, man.
Like, have you watched The Guild?
Yeah, I liked it. It's kind of amusing.
I liked it, and then I hated it at the same time, because what it's doing is sort of reinforcing the negative stereotypes of geek culture.
I don't know. Like, I feel like there are characters in that show that are representative of...
They're a little too true to life, I agree.
No, dude, I fucking... That show is got nothing on fucking Big Bang Theory. Like, you're kidding me? Like, no, that show is a pretty fucking good representation of our culture. No, but I mean, I think their representation of geek culture is pretty good. I think, honestly, like, I think when she hosts something, like... Having her at least participating in the VGAs is a little bit better than having and whatever the guy that plays Chuck. Like, at least these people are. This is so much better than when they have like Sam Jackson, who's like, "Hey, nerds, take a break from masturbating in your basement.
Put on a Kangol hat and hang out with me."
Yeah,
I'm
like,
Sam Jackson.
Like, no
snakes.
Yeah, no. I mean, I think she's perfectly acceptable at what she does.
And it's like I said, I don't necessarily love or hate her. I think that this Ryan dude, like he fucked up. But they're like, if he had come out and just phrased what he did differently and didn't do it like a drunk idiot, he probably would have had a little bit more leverage with the community and probably wouldn't have lost his fucking job and all his credibility.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. If he would have fucking written a well-written piece and explained his problems with her and like
in more than 140 characters.
Yeah, I probably still wouldn't necessarily agree with him, but whatever.
You would have gone like, "Oh, he's inflammatory, but he's within his rights to be so."
Yeah. No.
Also, this also goes to prove my point. Don't try to argue anything on Twitter. There's just not enough. Like, you
also,
can't...
Also, shocking for the sake of shocking is just fucking annoying.
Yeah, he definitely was going down that, like, all, "I'm a badass, I don't care what people say, fuck you, man, I'm gonna post what I want." So, yeah, fuck him. Cool. And so we got one more piece of news, John, and this is one that I'm actually kind of excited about the ramifications of.
I'm interested.
As you know, I'm a fledgling law enthusiast on the side.
Yeah.
So the European Union recently ruled in a pretty landmark case for at least what we're talking about that game companies and distributors do not have legal right to prevent people from reselling digital copies of games.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that.
So,
do you think people should be able to resell digital copies of games?
Well, reselling a digital copy of the game indicates that you're not keeping the copy yourself, like you're
no, and they've and then it's now in the companies who decide they want to continue doing business in the EU to do that. I mean, I think for a lot of them, it might just be worth it to fucking
drop out of the EU.
Yeah, fuck it.
Like, I mean, I don't know how much money
seems
there.
Seems like I don't need money, Europe. Fuck it.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it's weird. I like that.
I think maybe at that point they're like, "Oh, you can buy retail copies. That's it." Enjoy.
Well, I do like that it's sort of it's one step towards pushing away from this whole like let's add features to our game just to prevent resale, and you know,
but that's good.
That's what I'm saying. Not needless features or needless security holes.
No, I think I don't know. I think this is gonna require even more strict DRM.
You think so? I mean,
absolutely. Like, because they can't go DRM free if somebody is essentially selling their license for something. But
it's still illegal to copy a game and then sell copies of it, right?
Yeah, but I don't know.
So what it does?
I'm interested to see what happens. Personally, like, I don't buy a lot of used games.
But you would if they were digital only, perfect guaranteed copies at a cheaper price.
If they were giving a cut, like, I don't fucking want to buy anything from GameStop in the first place, because like their games, you know, GameStop, just using them as an example, is anti-consumer and also anti-industry.
Right, but this is not. I think GameStop's a bad comparison. I think the comparison is
this
like
is
eBay.
Yeah, eBay's getting a cut. Listen, if they work out a deal where the developers are getting a cut, I'm sure there will be less of a problem. The thing is, with reselling digital goods, I don't know. It's like, can I flip an MP3?
I mean,
is there a depreciated value, or does, I mean, who sets the price? Can the consumer Or so the first consumer number one, can he set the price to consumer two?
I believe so, right?
Can he stockpile?
But there's no limit to. It's not like you can corner the market on games or MP3s.
You can't because there's like literally unlimited ones. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how this proceeds.
Yeah, what it does is it sets a lot of precedent that now asks a lot of questions and forces the industry to react.
Yeah.
So if it's no longer forbidden to resell a game, does that mean Steam then has to start talking about facilitating the sale of games not through them within their, like, if I'm done with a game on Steam, do I have the ability to auction it off, and then how do I transfer that to another account?
Yeah, I don't think first of all, this is never going to happen in the U.S.
Our
our legislation is set up in a way that it's not going to go that way. Japan, we're talking about, this is a country where fucking renting games was never legal. Like, good for you, Europe. You're already fucking number. Consumer area number three. You might be just alienating these people that are bringing you products.
Yeah, whatever happens in Europe, I think follows suit, and typically in Australia and New Zealand. But I don't know that those are even really, like, Australia practically has like a no video game stance.
They have the R18 got approved finally. But I mean, this is gonna be an interesting one to watch at the very least.
So that was fun for news.
For news.
For dun, news.
Dun, dun, dun. Do, 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 do. No, I'll probably just use the NPR music.
So what? That you and one of our other listeners can recognize it?
It's not my fault. You're on culture, motherfucker.
Anyway, I think we'll be right back with Game Club for John's spooky segment. And we're back.
We're back.
That was the weirdest one we've ever done.
Yeah. Game Club.
Game Club, John.
Check in.
This is.
Did you end up getting to where you're supposed to?
Yes, I did.
Okay, sweet.
I did last night at like 3 in the morning.
So, oh man, that's going to drive me crazy. So we're halfway through Amnesia: The Dark Descent.
I don't know. Are we actually half, or are we just assuming it's half?
I looked at a walkthrough.
Okay.
To gauge where we are.
So we're playing Amnesia, which we both got in the indie bundle.
Yeah, and no one asked me for free. Like, not a single email, so I didn't give away a copy.
Someone will want it eventually.
Well, no, they can't get it now. Offer rescinded.
No, it's not rescinded. It expired. It's a limited time offer.
I am. Giving
we don't
away,
want to seem like we go back on our word, John.
I am giving away a copy of Dark Void Zero. No, I'm not. I'm just kidding. I'm going to play that, dummy. So, this game.
It is a... So, let's paint the picture. Okay, so, first of all, Game Club, spoilers ahead.
Oh, yeah, tote spoilers.
Nothing but spoilers.
So, first-person survival horror
I don't want to call it survival horror, though, because it's still... It's just,
how is it not survival horror?
It's just... Well,
can't you die? Don't you have limited resources?
Isn't every game that's horror effectively a survival, like, it's always you trying to live, right? It's a horror game.
So your argument is that the genre survival horror doesn't exist?
I think it should just be horror.
Okay.
I think that's a fair thing.
No, because I'd say something like Splatterhouse has horror themes but isn't survival oriented.
All right, you know, semantics.
Yeah.
So
I win.
It is a survival horror.
No, it's a first person horror game with adventure game elements.
Is this game is developed by indie developer?
Yeah, so the game's developed by Frictional Games.
Frictional Games!
They developed the Penumbra series, which I didn't play that.
I think
that.
It's Penumbra.
Whatever. Fuck off. Okay, so you play as a guy named Daniel exploring a...
mansion?
Castle. That you don't have... You don't have a memory. You wake up with a note from yourself saying that you basically gave yourself amnesia on purpose, and you have to go kill this guy who is deep within the castle.
Right, and I mean, there's you the character, do not have memories. You, the player, seem to at least start with more memory than the character does, and then as the game progresses, you learn more about
yourself.
Yeah,
you learn more. Daniel works great as an avatar because he knows almost exactly what you know when you start.
Right.
But then you find pages from diaries and it fills in a bit, and then there's flashbacks when you enter certain areas.
Yeah, or interact with certain objects.
Yeah. The game is atmospheric as hell. I mean, it is an indie game. It is made by a small team, and its full retail cost is $20.
Right.
So we're not talking like,
Dead Space. Yeah, Resident
it doesn't. Evil. It doesn't. Dead Space. Not. I wouldn't say survival horror. But anyway, it doesn't have. You know, it's not super fucking glossy, right?
Right.
There's some rough edges. That being said, like, I have no problem immersing myself into the world. I'm playing maxed out. Actually, I was playing maxed out first, and then I just dropped it down to 720p because I was having some issues when I did things quickly. But I do have, you know, but it does look fine.
Yeah, I'm playing maxed out throughout the whole thing. It looks fine. I mean, there's some points where there's some things that should be circles, and they're more octagonal, but obviously, the indie game part of it showing, right?
Yeah, that's not going to take me out of it.
It kind of reminds me of, like, what the first Half-Life sort of looked like.
I'd say better than that.
I mean, it almost looks like it was Half-Life Engine, or am I crazy?
I don't think it is Source, or the original Half-Life Engine either. I don't know what that was called. But I'm finding the game scary as hell. I play it in this little room with the lights off, with these surround sound headphones on. With my dick out and my iPad playing a 24-hour, just porn loop. Gross.
Where does one get that?
I don't know. I made that up.
So, yeah.
Get it from fantasticneighborhood.com/John.
It's a very atmospheric game, granted. The atmosphere is a Germanic castle in 1890-something.
Yeah, in Prussia.
Yeah. I don't know how much I love that setting for a horror game, because I don't know how much I can relate to it.
Oh, I can't relate to being a fucking messenger in a future city, but Mirror's Edge is still my favorite game.
I could actually see myself being in the future, though. I can't see myself being in the past.
Whatever.
Let me
ask you a question. So, like, I haven't had what I would call, like, your typical jump scares. There have been, like, some moments of serious tension for me, and I'll talk about this in a little bit, and one moment of bone-chilling terror that was more than a jump scare for me. Have you been scared at all?
Not even in the least.
I see. Here's the fucking problem with you. It's like,
I'm dead to this. Like,
yeah, you can't be scared, right?
I worked at a horror magazine for, like, 5 years. I've watched plenty of... I still do get scared, but this game is not doing it for me because I'm not detached enough.
Anyway, we'll continue down the list. So personally, okay. So the controls, you agree with me? I mean, the controls are fine.
They're serviceable. Yeah.
The parts that you have to do. This reminded me of Half-Life 1. The parts where you have to do some platforming.
Oh yeah, there's a jumping puzzle about halfway through. Not puzzle, but a jumping action sequence.
Yeah. Basically, the way from the first hub to the second hub where you have to go through the water and you have to go in the boxes, which I found to be fucking... I thought that was great. Like, the way it controls is shitty, but the idea around it is fucking fantastic.
The idea is great.
And the way to get that water thing the fuck away from you, you have to throw fucking limbs.
Yeah,
that
no,
was fucking great, man.
That's great. If they ever made a Piranha 3D video game, I think that would be an element in
dude,
it.
Dude, I don't, like, that was, like, seriously, like, man, I was like, fuck, I gotta get there on time. I got, at one point, I was like, I fell off the boxes. I'm like, fuck it. I'm just, like, holding down shift. I am, like, I am running.
You know, the shift button is so archaic to me.
To
like,
run?
To run. Like, just make them run. Like, I find that I'm never...
No, because you need...
I guess later on it's relevant.
No,
because like...
you need it. Because there are parts where you need to creep around crouched. You need to, various levels of skulking around
right.
to get away from the fucking things.
I get... I haven't had so much experience with that yet.
Oh, okay. Because I've run into those guys a couple
times. I feel like
times.
You and I have a very different
experience.
Some
of those are random. The encounters with the... I don't know what they're called. The bad guys. The enemies.
Sure.
They are fucking scary. So let's talk about like some of the core of the game is like, so there are two meters. There's your health meter that can go down being attacked. It's not a real health meter. It's
falling or hitting dangers, whatever.
Or getting shredded up by enemies or stepping on some of the gross flesh stuff.
Right.
But there's a sanity meter.
Now, this is a mechanic that has not been done in a whole lot of games, but has been done in games, like, comparable games.
Yeah.
It basically, the longer you are in darkness or looking at hideous things within the game...
To include the enemies.
Including
so
the enemies.
So, you can't attack the enemy. There's no combat in this game. But you can't attack them, but you... Or, sorry... You can't look at them, because looking at them goes crazy, but the only way to avoid them is to hide in the dark.
Running or hiding in the dark.
So you're like, a lot of fucked if you do, fucked if you don't.
Right. So my experience with this game so far, in the first hub, I never once encountered an enemy.
How about in the second one?
The first time I encountered an enemy was the transfer from hub 1 to hub 2.
The water. Okay, so wait, did you get to the elevator?
Yes.
So you didn't, so when you were bringing, all the parts back to the machine room.
Oh, well, I just got to the elevator. I didn't go through the whole thing yet.
Oh.
I didn't perform all the tasks yet.
Oh, you're not halfway. You're about a third.
Okay. That's fine. I can make that
okay.
up.
Okay. Yeah. No, there's some stuff. There's some stuff that goes
so down. The real stress part of this game and the real anticipation of this game is the fact that, like, for the first, I would say, fourth, if not third of the game, potentially nothing attacks you at all. Like, there's hints of enemies, but nothing happens, right? Unless you actually actively seek for, like, if you see an enemy turning a corner and you run after it, maybe you can catch it and have it attack you, but... There's been a couple of scares where it's been, like, I'll hear a noise and nothing, right? And then I'll come into a room and I'll turn a corner and I'll see an enemy, but it's not looking at me, it's just walking through a hallway and it's turning a corner, and then when you go, it's gone.
If they see you, like, they will chase you.
But I never, in the whole beginning of the game, I never got to that point.
Okay.
Now, there was one point in the game very early on where I think I, like, hit a switch or I got something and I heard like an explosion, and I in my head I'm like, enemies coming, and I literally hid in a closet assuming that was what you,
yeah,
because there's a lot of human sized closets in this game. Mm-hmm. And nothing ever came.
Oh no, I hid in a closet, forget somewhere. I was in the study, like I was like, because I could hear the fucker coming. I'm like, oh shit, there's one door to this fucking room, closet. So I hop in the closet and fucking, like, saw the fucking monster through the crack in the closet. Shit is creepy. But, so the insanity thing, and like I said, this fucking, I mean, obviously, if you haven't got enough spoilers of it yet, of, like, how the mechanics of it work, it'll say slight headache, head is pounding, hands are shaking.
Trembling or yeah. Something like that. And then there's one that's dot, dot, dot.
Yeah, that means your shit's going apeshit. One thing, at one point it said crystal clear.
That's usually right after you solve a puzzle.
Solving puzzles
restores your sanity.
Yeah, but here's the thing. That meter is not to be trusted. because shit will go. Banana shit will happen while you're supposedly crystal clear.
There's still triggered events.
No, but like there will be some of the insanity stuff happening, which is like, and it's really interesting to me because like it really made me think. I'm like, yeah, no shit. If I was actually going insane, how good of a fucking barometer would I have on my own sanity?
Right. Now,
but do you want to talk about the story at all?
I'll get to that. Now, while we're still on controls, I have two comments. One is that the meters themselves, there's no HUD in the game.
Yeah.
I actually feel like that's at least should have been an option because like, nah. I kind of dislike that I constantly hit tab to go to the menu to see where my sanity stands.
I kind of wish they did what Alone in the Dark did and had like, if you're in the inventory, like you're not paused, homie.
Shit's still happening.
Yeah, I would like that quite a bit.
I think that would have been good. But yeah, I find that I check my sanity and my health a lot.
Oh, I don't really check it that often.
I'm very pedantic that way. There was one other moment.
Don't say.
There was one other moment where and this is a true story. My game glitched, and it kept what actually happened is it was registering that. I was holding down a button that I wasn't holding down because, like, I hit too many buttons within a menu or something
so
like
you,
that.
Oh, you moved.
So I was moving without actually touching a button.
Yeah, dude, that happens to me a lot. I don't think that's a glitch.
Well, I actually thought that was my sanity going for a long time.
So I assume, like, that's not a glitch. Like, I think that's part of it. Like, that's part of the game.
Do you really think because there was no way to stop it except for shutting off the game?
Oh,
For me, it wouldn't go away. I actually played
through it. Oh, so maybe it is a glitch.
I think it is a glitch.
Because that happened to me, and like I could fuck around with the WASD and write myself. I mean, if that's a glitch, kind of added to the game in my case.
Well, it's funny because other games that have tried this have always done things like that where they...
Oh, God, controls are reversed.
Or, oh, my volume's going down, what's going on? You know, something along those lines.
Or if the game is acting like the GameCube is fucking resetting itself or something like that.
So,
oh man,
we'll get to that in a bit.
The scarecrow parts in Arkham Asylum, the first, you know, not Arkham City, because Arkham City didn't really do anything as clever as that. But, man, those scarecrow parts, like... When the shit, like, acts like your system glitches out, like, that shit was really interesting.
Or in X-Men when you had to hit the reset button on Genesis?
Yes. Oh, fuck. We should play that.
Can I tell you the first time...
Good. That's a good-ass game.
I rented that from Blockbuster, and the first time, like, I knew that was part of the game, and when I got up to that part, I hit reset before I should have, and I actually reset the game.
Dude, that game didn't have a title screen. Like, you just jumped right in, right?
Yeah, I think you just jumped right in.
That game, man, that was good.
And I think the other X-Men game, the one with Spider-Man that was on the Super Nintendo.
That was not a good game.
Arcade, whatever. Which
that is a bad game.
Hard as hell.
I've never made it past, like, beat one of the X-Men levels.
But I think that was, I have, but I think that was one of the ones where... The title screen, they Tarantino'd it. Like, the title screen was until after, like, the first level.
I don't think so. I remember that game. That game fucking blew, man. That was...
Anyway, that's off topic. Let's talk about the story.
Okay, so the story is that you, or at least that we know so far, you're this guy, William...
Daniel.
That's what I meant. You're this guy, Daniel.
Daniel Williamson.
So, Daniel is the guy that... No, William is the guy that went to work for the count. Daniel's a different guy.
Yeah, I don't have such a firm grasp on the story.
Yeah, maybe we'll get it later. At some point, somebody went to an exploration to the Algiers and found this blue orb.
Or at least we assume they did.
The orb causes insanity, also grants huge power. The guy who owns the castle, who I assume the guy is you're trying to kill, may or may not be immortal, but has been trapping villagers and local animals for a number of years to try to figure out the energy that it makes up life.
He's like a mad scientist figure, I guess would be the best parallel.
Yeah, so it's not super clear yet. I guess your character may have been under contract from him to kidnap people in exchange for a recommendation to join this secret society or something like that.
Sure.
Is what I'm getting so far.
But, I mean, once again, whatever we've gotten up to this point could change at the very last minute. I mean, that could be the Shyamalan at the end.
Yeah. I don't know. So far, are you liking it? Because I feel like you don't like anything.
I don't.
You don't dislike it.
No, I don't love it. I don't hate it. I'm gonna. It's got me enough that I'm going to play it through to the end.
Mm-hmm.
But afterwards, I don't think like I'll ever come back to it. Like, it doesn't.
You don't want to play the expansion, Justine?
There's an expansion?
It comes with it.
Oh.
So when you know how when you load it on Steam, it opens up the config menu.
Sure.
If you look at the bottom right, there's it says Justine. I think it's like an hour or two.
Oh. So I think maybe I will play that.
I think you play as a French woman 20 years later. From what I understand, that game has live interaction, like human interaction in it.
Oh. Well.
I don't know. I'm interested. I don't know. I do not do really well with scary games, but I'm enjoying it so far. Like, I'm liking it.
So, I don't, like, I'll say that the things that they did right were the things that they needed to do right. Like, obviously, it's a budget-ish title, and the graphics are not super polished. But, like, with the voice acting, can't fault it at all. Like, it's...
Oh, no, the voice acting is on point, I think.
Totally services the game. It is what it needs to be. Like, obviously, they went with accented characters.
Mm-hmm.
And that fits with the storyline. I also feel like there's probably a lot more forgiveness with an American audience for accented characters.
Probably.
Which is convenient. The artistic parts of the game themselves, not the in-engine stuff, but like the hand-drawn pieces and all that look really good. The game itself looks fine. I had a couple of clipping issues, but nothing that I wouldn't have had in a AAA title anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's some technical issues.
The thing that kind of... So, going back to GameCube era, that was, like, the pinnacle for me of survival horror. Like, I was big in survival horror. That sort of supplanted JRPG for me as my number one thing. And loved the Resident Evils, loved the Silent Hills. Wasn't huge on some of the stuff that came after, like Dino Crisis and all that.
Ugh, Dino Crisis is unplayable.
But
actually,
by unplayable, you mean impossibly hard.
No, all those tank-controlled games are like, at this point, unplayable.
Yeah, I agree. So, Eternal Darkness on the GameCube was
supposed to be... This is a game I know of, but haven't played. And it's available on PC now. And to my understanding, I'm thinking of System Shock.
No, I don't think it would work on any system but a GameCube, and I feel like it's a period piece.
Why is that?
Some of the stuff that they do is relevant to the time period that it came out in. I'll get to that. So, Eternal Darkness had a lot of similarities to the game that we're playing now, Amnesia, in that some of the sanity things that they do to scare you, like when you're progressively going insane, things that sort of break the fourth wall, are the same things that Amnesia do. There's a scene in Amnesia that I got up to where all of a sudden there's bugs on the screen.
Yeah, that happened in... I think that happened in, like, Fear as well.
Might have happened in Fear. But Eternal Darkness was one of the first games I remember to do that, where, like... And I think Eternal Darkness did it better because it started very subtly and it looked like a fly. It wasn't like a giant fucking roach on your screen.
Well, no... there were those weird, gross bugs on the ground in the game, but the one that crawled across my screen was like I thought it might have actually been there.
See, I didn't get, maybe my sanity was too high at that point, and I think we're definitely having different experiences with the game, but like, yeah, there was a scene where I had like roaches on the screen, and I'm like, oh, ha 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 ha, I get it. In Eternal Darkness, when that happened, I actually had to stop and go like, is that a bug in my house? Eternal Darkness, the reason it doesn't translate well is because some of the sanity things they did were fake turning off your television, fake resetting the GameCube, fake fucking with your television's volume control, and it did them convincingly enough on the CRT televisions that were available at the time. Televisions don't do that anymore. They don't, you know... you can't see the faint remnant of a picture tube in the middle of a TV anymore, mm-hmm. and that was part of the effect of Eternal Darkness, which is why it was sort of relevant to the time period. Same with, like, volume control. It was 480p. It probably doesn't translate well to current iterations, and it definitely doesn't translate well to a PC, because you don't really have the same sort of volume control there.
Yeah.
So, but, I mean, it was... That was another game that I thought was brilliant, and at the same time, like, I was like, ah, this is great. I'm never going to play through it again. Like, it just didn't really... It didn't have the jump scares that I was looking for that, like, a Silent Hill had. Silent Hill, to me, was the scariest game,
mm-hmm.
hands down. But, I mean, I'm probably bad-mouthing this a lot, but I actually really do like Amnesia. I just feel like I'm going to get through it, and that's going to be that.
Yeah... I mean, I'm not going to play it after that. I'm not going to download any custom stories for it.
Yeah, I'll tell you this much. The outside of the storyline itself, which is obviously the driving force of the game, the gameplay is still solid adventure game, which I could sit down and play an adventure game.
Yeah, no, it's totally... Like, the puzzles are good. I mean, they're not stupid. Like,
no,
they're
no,
not
no.
like... They're, it's not like a Leisure Suit Larry where you have to, like, put two things together that make absolutely no sense. Like, find the three parts of the drill, drill a fucking hole in this thing, and then you got this chemical, and you're gonna blow this shit up.
Right. Find the four chemicals and mix them together. The end.
Yeah.
One of the mechanics that I didn't like in this game, though, is some of the... Where they try to, like, make it more realistic.
Oh, like turning the wheel
turning
with the mouse.
Turning the wheel with the mouse and all that.
Like opening the doors. Yeah, I agree. I'm not really a fan. I think that could have been done better in a way.
I think
And when I was looking online, when I was thinking about playing this, because I have a program on PC called Pinnacle, where they map games that don't have controller support onto a 360 controller, and it works okay in a lot of games. But they were saying it doesn't work very great for this game because of this door opening mechanic. I was like, that shit's kind of annoying, and I hope they take it out in the sequel.
I feel like it's actually just poor execution. There's places where it doesn't need to be. When you're mixing the chemicals, you don't need to manually turn the fucking lever for every chemical and then put the thing there. Blah, 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 blah.
What does make the door opening and closing mechanic, because I close the doors behind me when I go into a room.
Yeah, it's the peeking of it. You can peek through the doors.
The other thing about it is, which could easily be done with a contextual button press, when there is something time-based, that cumbersomeness of it does kind of add a little bit of a thing to it. Like,
it does make it stressful, or at least more so. But it's, part of the stress is coming from frustration in that the controls are not great to do those things,
mm-hmm.
which isn't what you want to do.
Yeah. So
I at the end of the day, I could have lived without that mechanic. Or at least a different one in its place.
Yeah, I think it could have been done better, but I think it is overall adding to my experience. So...
Yeah, so that being said, we're going
to... That being said, not for nothing.
Ostensibly. We're going to finish the game for next Game Club, and we'll come back with our final thoughts on that. I'm gonna tell you right now, John, one of the other things on my list for this week that I'm going to be playing is Walking Dead Season 2.
No, episode two. That's going to be a Game Club after this.
Is it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So slow your roll, homie. Come on.
I want it now.
Every chapter of that is going to be Game Club.
Also, they announced that that's not the end of it after the five seasons.
Yeah. I think a lot of people agree that this is essentially the best thing Telltale's ever done. So.
Yeah, and it's also, I think, probably the best horror game.
Horror?
Horror genre game.
It's a great adventure game. Like, I mean...
It is, but it's also in the genre of horror. There are some genuinely scary moments, and I think it's done right.
They do some tension stuff right. It's a little more gamey, but I like the gamey parts of it.
Yes, God forbid we have that in our games. But
gamification is not just a marketing buzzword, Fred.
No, of course not. So far, two thumbs up. I mean, it's a trepidatious two thumbs up, but it's definitely a game worth getting.
Since a trepidatious thumb from your part, my thumb is firmly up.
Right up your ass.
Right on your fucking eye with vomit on it. We'll be right back. What would you say if we lived every day like it were all holiday? Will you say you're a realist? Will I relate? Welcome back.
John, it's that special time again.
It's always sad to say goodbye, Fred.
And we do so by extending this segment to like 20 minutes every time we do it.
Well, luckily we don't have to do that this time because it looks like there is no community segment.
We got some housekeeping, though. Thank you for listening, everyone. If you would like to talk to us, if you would like to get some stuff read on air, if you'd like to have a conversation with us, we are available on the internets.
The internets.
So if you would like to give us a shout-out, you can do so on our Facebook page at facebook.com/fantastichood. You can also email us at letters@fantasticneighborhood.com.
We should just pre-record this.
Or so you can call us now. We have a number set up. You can call us at 720-HOODIE-6.
Yes, that's correct. 720-HOODIE-6, which in numbers translates to 555. That's Klondike 5673. I tried to get that number, and it just wouldn't work. So, yeah, speaking of Twitter, we didn't mention Twitter yet. We're on Twitter at Fantastic Hood. We're also individually on Twitter. I'm at Hey John Anderson, without a second H.
And I am at Proto Addict. And you can also find us. We've been posting a lot now to N4G.
Yeah, so...
Although you should just come to our website, because that's all we're posting.
But yeah, we, you know, look, check out the site. We got some occasional content on there. And redesign, it will be up before the end of the summer.
Imminent.
Before the end of the summer, we promise.
We also have some great art. We just posted a new article recently
about SimCity or SimCity
by one of our contributing authors. So make sure to check it out.
Yeah, and check us out. Rate us on iTunes. You're probably listening to this via an iTunes subscription. Rate us there. We need the positive feedback. If you have negative feedback, like for example a 2-star review, fucking save it for somebody who gives shit. Anyway, so with that being said, bye.
Best
episode ever! No, I mean, like, they fuck off.
Drop the marker.
Yeah, but, yeah, blah, 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 blah.
Meh.
This will still be easier to edit than most episodes.
You're gonna say it, it's gonna come right to my face.
I need charge, I need charge, oh, 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 oh. I need charge, need charge.
But, the phone number is, you can leave us a message on our Google Voice account and we can listen to it and respond to it, or we can play it on air. We'll play it on air and then we'll make bad comments about it.
Yeah. So speaking of